Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the 99% podcast. I'm Lucien Waddaley.
And I'm Michael McAndrew.
Welcome back. The podcast is back. We're here for another episode.
Yeah. We're doing it at the end of the week rather than the beginning of the week.
We'd like to shake things up from time to time.
Well, I think in this case, it's definitely better doing it at the end of the week because so much happened this week.
It's been an interesting week.
Sure has.
Definitely.
It was your 19th birthday.
Oh, Michael.
Happy birthday, Lou.
You shouldn't.
So, yes, you're a year older.
And a year closer to my demise. Well.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, well, whatever. On with the show. We're going to begin today by discussing some lovely capitalist stuff.
Yeah, in the last episode we talked about Apple not paying taxes. Apple's in this country.
Screwing a government out of money, and now we're going to promote their products for a couple of minutes.
I don't think we are.
No? Okay, all right. So
we're going to talk about their products and why you shouldn't buy them.
Oh, okay, well that's good to hear. So Michael, what products have we got from Apple?
Well, you know, every September Apple come out with their new rounds of devices. So there was a lot of rumors about the new iPhone, what it would look like, what it would be, what it would have, and what, more importantly, it wouldn't have. So yeah, the iPhone 7 has been announced, and the biggest thing about the iPhone 7 is the lack of a headphone jack, and that was kind of rumored from, I guess, since the 6S came out, that they were saying there was going to be no headphone jack. So a lot of people are like, that is the most crazy thing I've ever heard. There's a few reasons behind this. There's two main reasons. Number one is because the phone now has an IP67 waterproof rating. Mm-hmm. So you can basically shower with your phone.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. But they couldn't have done that with the headphone jack. Because of the way that the headphone jack on phones is designed, you'd have to put a cover over the headphone jack, a plastic cover, and that is the most un-Apple-like thing you could ever do. Yeah. Whereas the Lightning adapter for charging
is waterproof.
Okay. So that was one reason. Now they can officially get the IP67 rating without the headphone jack. The second reason...
It's because they want to sell their fancy new Bluetooth earphones. And not having a headphone jack is an incentive for people to buy those.
Well, you also have to remember that it frees up space on the phone.
Oh, okay, I suppose.
So they have replaced where the headphone jack was with a processor for optical for image stabilization.
Okay,
so whatever that is. That makes the camera better.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that was the other thing. Yeah. Because the headphone jack takes up so much space, there's an amplifier in there, all that kind of stuff. So it takes up quite a lot of space in the phone. Mm. The third reason is because they want you to buy their incredibly overpriced AirPods, which they released. They're €170.
Mm.
They I would lose them in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, same.
The design is quite nice. Yeah. They sound exactly the same as the normal ear pods. Mm. But their design is great. They come in a little case that charges them when you put them in. I love that. That's great. They are probably some of the best designed wireless earphones that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very overpriced for what you're getting.
Yeah.
And you lose them in 2 seconds.
Mm.
So that was kind of the main thing. There's an updated camera, 12 megapixels. They've got some cool stuff on the bigger 7 Plus. They've got two cameras. So they've got, the idea is that you have one at a 28 millimeter and then one at double that so that you can get optical zoom. Okay. And then they can also do really cool stuff where they can blur out the background to get that shallow depth of field to simulate a bigger sensor, to simulate a bigger camera, like something that you get out of a DSLR or something like that. Mm-hmm. So there's huge camera improvements. The design is exactly the same. Mm. They have gotten rid of the clicky home button.
Yeah.
Now it's a capacitive home button.
Okay.
But they've included this force touch technology, which is actually it's actually really clever.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, if there's one thing that Apple have done right in the last few years, it's Force Touch. Basically, there's no mechanical moving parts per se, but what they have is they have an electromagnet that kind of shakes around every time you touch the... They've brought it in on their laptops now, and it's brilliant. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because that was the biggest problem with their products before, was the fact that all the moving parts, the buttons and stuff, just broke.
Yeah.
So... yeah, that was the iPhone 7. They came out with some other stuff as well. New Apple Watch. And
that thing.
That's waterproof. Some Pokemon Go stuff, if anybody cares about that.
Yeah.
And a new Mario game. And that's about it. Oh, Apple Music also has 70 million users, which that's a surprising number for
that,
me.
Is that a real statistic?
Well, if Apple are releasing it, I guess it must be.
Yeah.
That's I mean... I think most of their users, though, came from when everybody wanted to try it out, try the free trial,
yeah,
and they just never cancelled.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So there you go. That's the Apple event in about 5 minutes.
Okay. And Apple, pay your taxes.
Yes.
Moving on. It was another quiet week for our two big candidates in the U.S. election, HRC and DJT. We're both keeping it on the down low, so our attention shifted to some of the people who, you know, aren't going to be the next president, but are still mucking around, namely Gary Johnson and Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Gary Johnson first.
Yeah.
Gary Johnson's, of course, the retiring candidate. We've talked about him before. He's the most popular of the third party candidates. He's going to be on the ballot in all 50 states. I think he's a far preferable candidate. Well, he's quite clearly a far preferable candidate to Donald Trump. He has, you know, maybe 40% policies that I would support, which is a lot more than can be said of Trump. However, some of his policies are quite absurd. But anyway, he got some attention this week, and it was some negative attention because he made a bit of a gaffe in an interview when he was asked a question about Aleppo in Syria. And he seemed not to know what this was.
Something else that the Trump campaign is watching closely this morning is the response to what happened to former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who's running for president, when he appeared on a morning program today talking about foreign policy when he was asked this question. Watch this.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
So yeah, Gary doesn't seem to know what Aleppo is. Now, people are, you know, using this to say, oh, Gary Johnson, what an idiot. He's incompetent. He's unqualified. I mean, I kind of feel bad for Gary. Like...
why?
Okay, first of all, like, he's obviously not going to be elected president, so I don't think we need to treat him with the same level of scrutiny as the other candidates. My main thing with Gary is I want Gary in the debates, because a Hillary Trump two-person debate is a absolute horrible idea.
Yeah, but he's just reduced his chances now.
He has, which is really frustrating. And I think I feel like the media have completely blown this slip up out of proportion, because if there's one thing the media does want, it's a two-person Hillary Trump debate. That could go off the rails without a sort of...
So you don't think that
quiet.
It's bad that he didn't know...
It is bad.
What
oh, it
the
is.
City
it
Aleppo
is.
Was.
But I mean, it's possible that he misheard and thought that it was like Aleppo. I don't know what Aleppo is either. Do you? I mean, you Aleppo, I Aleppo, he Aleppo, she Aleppo. I mean, also...
Yeah, but he didn't say that, though.
I know.
And he came out and said afterwards, whoops.
Yeah, but
I didn't know what it was.
He spun a response together. He did. I thought his response was quite... It had a lot more dignity in it than what the Trump response would have been to a similar mistake.
Yeah.
I think Gary Johnson...
He owned it a bit and said,
I think he is,
look, I am human.
He's an honest candidate, like, and...
Yeah.
For better or worse. And I think at least he owned it. And I don't know. I really want Gary Johnson in the debates. It's obviously not going to happen, especially now. But yeah. I'm very frustrated that this had to happen, because he was doing fairly well the last few weeks. And, you know, he's not at risk of the worst that can happen is that he splits the conservative vote and helps Hillary get elected. Really, like, Gary Johnson doing well is of no really has no negative consequences because, like, he cannot possibly be elected.
Yeah, for sure.
And he does seem generally to be a fairly intelligent man compared to Donald Trump and compared to a lot of Republicans. I think he's quite sensible, but clearly in this instance, he lacks a lot of important knowledge.
Sure does.
Speaking of people who lack important knowledge, our old friend Ted Cruz is back at it again. He's
just when we thought we were done with Ted Cruz.
Just when we thought we were done with Ted Cruz, he's back in the Senate and he's whinging about the internet. He says that President Obama is going to sell the internet to Chinese and Russian crooks and gangsters, and I don't know what he's on about. Do we have a video to play the audio of for you here?
The internet. America invented it, and it has proven to be an amazing oasis of freedom. Free speech. Each of us able to speak our views online. And free enterprise. Millions of new businesses able to be opened online without any government pre-approval. But all of that could change. Right now, the Obama administration is trying to push through a radical proposal to give away control of the internet to foreign countries. From the very first days of the internet, the American government has maintained domain names and ensured equal access to everyone with no censorship whatsoever. Obama wants to give that power away to an international body called ICANN, which would empower countries like Russia and China and Iran. This internet giveaway poses a great threat to our country's freedom and our national security. Russia and China and Iran don't have a First Amendment. They don't protect free speech, and they actively censor the internet. ICANN could do the same thing, putting foreign countries in charge of what you can say online, prohibiting speech that they disagree with. Foreign governments are already planning to take ICANN and move it overseas so that it not only escapes U.S. law, but in effect turns into a mini United Nations. Unfortunately, Congress hasn't been willing to affirmatively act to prevent this giveaway before the transfer date on September 30th, 2016. That's why I've introduced the Protecting Internet Freedom Act to immediately stop this transfer and protect American sovereignty. Time is running out, and it's going to take the power of the American people and Congress to save the internet. We must keep the internet free. Free of taxes, free of regulation, and free of censorship. America built the internet, and we shouldn't be giving it away to our enemies.
It's like a Call of Duty ad.
If I can, you can too.
So there's, to start off, I think in order to understand this story, you have to understand what ICANN is to start off with.
Okay.
And that video did not at all attempt to explain what ICANN was.
Fact-free. Just like the internet being tax-free.
So objectively speaking, that video is incredibly
misleading, inaccurate.
It's actually
false.
It's actually dangerous in many ways.
Yeah.
So basically, since the start of the internet, America has controlled what's called DNS.
Mm-hmm.
So DNS is domain name servers, and what DNS does is it basically allows us to go to youtube.com or 99pshow.com rather than having to use IP addresses.
Yeah.
So what it does is it assigns domain names mm-hmm. to servers.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly useful.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have DNS, we wouldn't be able to go to google.com. Mm. We'd have to type in
a series of numbers and
letters. A series of numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So America originally, when the internet was being founded, they decided they were going to take control of this because it made sense at the time.
Yeah.
The internet was very small. It was experimental. Mm. There was no need for
it. And
it
was very much kind of rooted in America.
It was very much rooted in America. There was no need to involve any other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it wasn't available in any other countries. Yeah. So it was actually just managed by one guy. But in 1998...
Mr. Internet.
Yeah, he was called the god of the internet or whatever. But it was just one guy. But in 1998, they decided to founded a non-profit to basically manage it.
Yeah.
And he, the guy who was managing it before that, he actually died soon after it was founded.
Okay.
So, and this is ICANN, right? So ICANN have actually been managing DNS since 1998.
Mm-hmm.
However, the American government had the final say, okay? So although ICANN had a certain amount of freedom on what they could do with DNS, it was the American government who kind of had the final control. So what does it mean? Well, what kind of power do ICANN have? Well, they can basically assign what kind of domain names are there. So .com, .ie for Irish
ones.
But
now there's .london, .podcast, .video, .movie. Those are...
And so, yeah. Now, historically, ICANN have had pretty much... The American government have given ICANN kind of whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. That's fine. There have been, historically, there have been some situations in which the American government have stepped in and said, don't do that.
I can, but you can't.
The most, I think the most, the most press, the most kind of infamous one was when ICANN wanted to come out with the XXX, the .xxx mm-hmm. for pornography websites. Mm-hmm. And the American government were against that.
Mm.
But in the end, they went with it anyway. Mm. They kind of settled. But that was, the American government were kind of stepping in there.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, they don't have to give this away, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the Obama campaign have decided that they were going, or the
administration.
Decided, okay, the best thing to do here is to make this an international, kind of give this, to make it available to other countries.
As Ted describes it, a mini UN.
A mini UN. Well, there was talks about it, about the UN taking control but this is not what it is.
Mm.
So, you see, I think the current situation, the current setup is so outdated because the internet is no longer just... in America.
Mm.
It's an international... So from other countries' perspectives, it seems like this is completely unfair.
Yeah,
why does America...
have a monopoly on something that's universal?
DNS. And DNS is so important.
Yeah,
like a fundamental part mm-hmm. of what the internet is. So Obama's kind of argument was, okay, we're going to give it over. We're going to make ICANN... their own independent organization with full autonomy
mm-hmm.
So that they can, you know, take control over DNS.
Mm-hmm. ICANN, they can.
And we're going to do this out of an act of diplomacy.
Mm.
So when the contract ends on September 30th,
mm-hmm.
this is what is going to happen. So
what's Ted's problem?
Well, okay. I can understand where Ted is coming from. And the reason why, right, to a certain degree...
is because Ted hates China and Russia and thinks that they're spies and evil people with mustaches and...
Well, Ted believes...
tigers in their basements.
I think what Ted believes is that Russia and China could have influence over ICANN's decisions.
Okay. But, like, America have done that now, for decades, so...
Absolutely. And the fact that...
of course,
that,
America can do no wrong.
And in this video, the fact that he says that America have allowed the freedom...
yeah.
Is wrong.
Yeah,
because they have stepped in.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have said to ICANN, you can't do this.
Yeah, you can't.
You cannot.
ICANN can't.
But the most important part is that... there are stakeholders in ICANN.
Okay.
From businesses.
Ooh.
And from countries.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes.
Who want to have influence.
Yeah.
Now, the reality is that they are not going to really be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as long as ICANN is run correctly, there are going to be no issues.
Yeah.
What Ted Cruz is suggesting is incorrect.
Yeah.
And
It wouldn't be the first time.
It wouldn't be the first time that Ted Cruz was wrong about something. But I think he is right in one aspect. He's wrong in the fact that America should keep holding DNS.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be another case if America handed DNS over to the United Nations.
Mm.
That could potentially cause issues.
Yeah,
I think. But the reality is, I can't have actually been running DNS since the 90s anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are going to be no changes.
Mm-hmm.
This changes nothing other than the fact that America has even less power now. That is the only thing that's going to change. Mm-hmm. And that is something that Ted Cruz's video about keeping the internet free does not explain at all. I mean, you could, from looking at that title, you could be led to believe that this video is about net neutrality.
Yes,
and
that's what I thought.
We should say no to censorship. Yeah. Ted is right. Yeah. Ted is right.
Or that soon enough, 99P show will redirect you to a picture of Vladimir Putin riding a horse shirtless.
The reality is that DNS, whoever controls DNS, doesn't have anything to do with freedom.
Yeah.
It has to do with the way that we interact with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever has control of that, the reality is, it has nothing to do with internet freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an incredibly misleading video. But Ted is, you know, he's incredibly unpopular in Congress.
Mm.
He's
literally hated by earns the Senate. Literally hated by every other senator.
Absolutely.
He just whines and goes on whatever they're called.
So there's no, as long as people are misinformed in this.
Filibuster.
That's
the word I was looking for.
If people are misinformed in this and they look at his video and they look at what he's saying, but they don't really understand it and they go, maybe Ted's right.
Yeah.
That's when you begin to get a bit concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But that basically explains Ted Cruz. Now, look, going to ICANN, it's probably not the ideal situation,
yeah,
to be honest. But seeing that ICANN have basically run DNS since, mm-hmm, 1998 anyway, I don't think it's going to cause too many issues.
Speaking of stupid Republicans who don't understand the internet, Donald Trump was asked a question about cybersecurity this week, and Michael will now perform for you his answer to the question about cybersecurity. Michael, begin.
You know, cyber is becoming so big today. It's becoming something that a number of years ago, a short number of years ago, wasn't even a word. Now the cyber is so big. You know, you look at what they're doing with the internet, how they're taking recruiting people through the internet. And part of it is the psychology, because so many people think they're winning. And you know, there's a whole big thing, even today's psychology, where CNN came out with a big poll. Their big poll came out today that Trump's is winning. It's good psychology. To be honest, this sounds like something a neural net would write. It doesn't quite make sense.
Oh, that's brilliant.
This is a man who doesn't understand.
He doesn't understand.
The poor man. I mean,
I know. It's like
he's failing to comprehend.
Give him a pat on the head and just say, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep.
He doesn't really understand what the cyber is.
Yeah.
The cyber. That was incredibly entertaining, though, I have to say.
Oh, it really is.
Well, we're having a nice technology-themed episode so far.
Yes, we are.
Yes,
we love the technology.
We love the tech.
We love the tech.
And there is actually an issue, though, that our politicians really haven't got a clue about technology.
Term limits. Keep them young.
Yeah.
Keep them young. Keep them fresh.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It's up for discussion.
But
then we'd have no Bernie Sanders.
No, but you see, I think that Bernie would be the kind of guy who would educate himself.
Well, exactly. He would have advisors who know what they're talking about. Whereas Ted is literally just surrounded by yes men, I would imagine.
I think Trump certainly
is.
Well, I don't think that Ted Cruz actually understands what is going on.
Oh, not at all, yeah.
But he just, it's just something that he can make, he can get into the media more about, and, yeah, and you know.
He just wants to be on TV.
He just wants his name to be heard.
Anyway, back in Ireland this week, there was a pretty big story.
Yeah.
So basically,
two big stories.
The first one we'll deal with is the Social Democrats, the relatively new party. They were founded about a year, last summer. Summer 2015.
Yeah.
And they have three leaders. They had three leaders, Stephen Donnelly, Roisin Shorthall, and Catherine Murphy. And Stephen Donnelly this week left the party, he said in a statement, "After a prolonged period of consideration, I'm leaving the Social Democrats with immediate effect. I do so with great sadness, having invested so much, together with my parliamentary colleagues, a small core team, and many volunteers, into the establishment over the last 20 months. It is a fact that some partnerships in every walk of life simply don't work, no matter how hard all of the parties to that partnership try to make it succeed. My decision is based on the fact that for the party to achieve its potential, one critical component is that the leadership team must function very well together as a team." So yeah, apparently this three-person leadership thing, from Stephen Donnelly's perspective, wasn't particularly effective in its current form.
No.
I don't know. It's strange. It changes things. The Social Democrats are in a parliamentary grouping with the Greens. They have three TDs. The Green Party have two, and that's a five-person grouping, which gives them speaking rights in the Dáil. That grouping has now fallen apart because Stephen Donnelly is no longer part of it. So that's going to cause problems for not only the Social Democrats, but the Greens in getting their ideas and their policy across in the Dáil, which is very unfortunate because those are the parties with which I would probably have the most shared policy positions, and it is going to be an issue, and it's hard to take sides in it because there's a lot of vagueness. But
I was surprised by it because he's
put a lot of work into running this party.
Yeah, and it seems over the past few months. And it seems like he was very instrumental in forming the party.
Yeah, yeah.
I think though they didn't get what they were looking for in the election.
Yeah.
They were looking to be able to have speaking rights. Mm-hmm. They were looking to, I mean, the three leaders were guaranteed seats, right? But they were hoping
They ran a good few candidates around the country.
They did. They were hoping to have at least two more candidates voted in. Mm-hmm. They got close.
And a lot of them performed really well.
They did.
Including Niall O'Toole, friend of the show, performed very well here in Galway West for a first-time candidate.
Which was a great result. Didn't quite get the seat, though.
Yeah.
So I think that they were disappointed in that result.
Mm.
Whether or not that has anything to do with the fact that he's leaving the party, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the reality is this does cause a few issues for the Social Democrats and the Green Party. Mm-hmm. Both, it affects them. And then the other question is, what does Stephen Donnelly do now?
Yeah.
People are saying
he could join Fianna Fáil.
Join Fianna Fáil.
I personally doubt that.
A lot of people are betting on that.
Yeah. I think that the most likely thing is that he might join the Independent Alliance.
It seems.
Which has been a very effective group with a wide variety of policies.
Yeah.
This is a group which includes Shane Ross, it includes John Halligan, several others. These are all people with very different positions on a number of issues. I think Stephen Donnelly wouldn't be entirely out of place in this group.
No.
And this group are, of course, they're part of the government. They're part of the minority government right now. So it seems like... Stephen Donnelly is a very, very well-respected and well-recognized political figure nationwide.
Oh,
he's on
sure.
television and radio a lot. He got a lot of media exposure as one of the leaders of the Sock Dems during the election campaign.
He did so well in his constituency.
He did very well.
He got the second
highest vote count in the country after Michael Healy Ray.
Yeah. Yeah,
Which is incredibly impressive.
Yeah,
and he performed really well in the debate representing the Sock Dems. So in the TV debate, so I think any party or group such as the Independent Alliance would welcome Donnelly with open arms.
Sure.
And it's unfortunate for the Social Democrats that they've lost one of their most popular figures.
Yeah,
but the party seemed to be moving on with some energy. The part no one else has dropped out. They're all of their candidates have declared continued support for Shorthall and Murphy as joint leaders going forward. Yeah, it's hard to tell what'll happen, but I think the party is going to improve their, I think, you know, had nothing changed, I think the party was going to improve their performance in future elections. I think there is a great ground support for them, a lot of constituencies around the country, and a lot of enthusiasm for them amongst certain demographics of young people and such. But I don't know how Donnelly leaving will affect that. Hopefully they will be able to perform well, because it is important to have a wide selection of parties in Ireland, of course, and not just Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and Labour and Sinn Féin.
So, yeah, John Halligan made the news this week.
He did. He was complaining about some stuff. I'm not particularly informed on it.
So,
just a brief recap.
Yeah, I mean, so John Halligan had basically an agreement with, well, what he claims to be an agreement with Fine Gael, mm-hmm. Coming in as a junior minister, as an independent, whereby they would, you know, he was looking for a new lab.
Yeah. Waterford
Hospital.
Basically, there were several weeks after the election when Fine Gael were scrimping around looking for votes for Enda Kenny as Taoiseach to get him re-elected.
And
this required giving favours to quite a few independents as well as Fianna Fáil.
Yes.
John Halligan was one of those.
So he claims that this was part of that thing. Now, it was, I mean, he also claims that there are people who have witnessed this, mm-hmm. and whatever. But they did, I mean, to be fair to Simon Harris, the health minister, he did start a kind of an independent kind of a inspection of the of the hospital, mm-hmm. and they came to the conclusion anyway that because of the population,
mm-hmm.
that the hospital serves, it would not be the best allocation of resources to put in a new lab. However, it would be recommended that they overhaul the current one, that they restore the current one, and increase the opening hours.
Mm-hmm.
So John Halligan was not happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he would step down if this lab wasn't put in, and he took a huge stance on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since then, he's redacted that. He says that he plans to stay on in for the time being and to continue to fight to get the lab put in place in the hospital.
Mm.
But he was very angry with this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Fine Gael TDs didn't really take it very well.
Yeah.
They were kind of annoyed at the fact that, you know, he's making such a big fuss about a local issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this really, as a junior minister, you know, you have to, it really brings in this kind of whole debate as to whether you serve your local constituency or you serve the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, and I don't think anybody really does.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go on the report.
Yeah.
But we don't know whether it would be more beneficial
to
put a lab in place or not.
Yeah.
But all that the TDs, all of that the government can go on,
mm-hmm.
is the report, the independent report that was done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John Halligan also claims that this report was not independent, and that certain individuals had a say in the conclusion of that report.
Those now, snakes from ICANN are back.
The snakes. No, I don't know. There's no proof of this, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, it's so, there, you can't really, there's, I don't know.
There was there was a point in the week when people were asking, as I will ask you now.
No.
Okay. It's time now for 99% features. 99% features. The This week's 99% Features, we're going to be joined right now by a very special guest. His name is Shane Barbera. He is the creator, director, star, writer, all sorts, of a fantastic web series. It's called Bernie Sand Wars. It's available to watch on YouTube. There's a couple of episodes of it. It's basically a hybrid. Two of my favorite things, Bernie Sanders and Star Wars. It's just great. You're going to love it. Shane joins us now. We're going to talk to him about the show, about his work as an animator, and about really the entire U.S. election and what the hell's going on right now. So Shane, thanks for joining us today. Can you describe, for some of our listeners who may not have seen it, just describe, what is Bernie Sand Wars?
Bernie Sand Wars is an animated web series. It's a political satire that combines Star Wars with Bernie Sanders and the 2016 election, American election in general.
And like, what are the main similarities from your perspective between the current U.S. political climate and the world of Star Wars?
I mean, in Star Wars, there's like a corrupt government that a band of rebels, you know, works to defeat. And it's kind of the same in American politics, where you have an oligarchy or like the very rich controlling the government and all these people with not much power trying to come together to, you know, defeat it.
Well, it's kind of scary, right, that you can actually compare,
you know, the fairy tale to a real political situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shane, can you describe kind of the process of assigning Star Wars characters to real-life political figures?
Sure. I guess the original idea for the show came with just, like, the concept of the first episode with, like, the Return of the Jedi parody, having Trump as Jabba the Hutt. I don't know, he's just kind of like a gross monster, so
yeah.
Kind of an easy fit.
It works.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was just attached to this idea of Elizabeth Warren in like fucking Slave Leia. Old lady, you know.
Sure.
And then another, at this same time when I started the show, I was really having problems with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the head of the DNC, and at the time she was scheduling all the presidential debates to be on like Saturday nights and like times when nobody's watching, gonna watch the debates, you know. And there's only six debates during this primary, and during the 2008 primary with Obama and Clinton there was 27 debates, so
right.
Yeah, so Debbie Wasserman Schultz sucks, and she looks like Jar Jar Binks. So.
Yeah, so Jar Jar, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Jar Jar, Debbie Wasserman Schultz suffers like a brutal fate in the show. Do you think do you think the real Debbie got off too easy, especially after yes. that email leak?
Yes, she totally got off too easy. She should have. It should have happened like in the show, and it's really frustrating.
Sure. So the... obviously, the voices of the characters is very important in the show. Who did you get to do the voicing?
Did you do many of them yourself?
Yeah, did you do many of them yourself?
Yeah, I do some of them myself. I do probably like 25% of the voices. And then, okay. But like when I started the show, it was really important. Like I didn't want to like do all the voices. Like I wanted to get people who fit the voices and could do a good impression. So I did a lot of casting online, like on just like Facebook acting groups and stuff like that, and like and Craigslist. And had like, I don't know, a dozen or two people submit for Bernie. And I ended up going with this guy, I live in LA, but I went with this guy in New York, named Sam Haft, and he does Bernie. He does, Trump. He does Jar Jar. He does Obama. So a lot of the big voices in the show are him. And other people I cast that way too, like Darth Hillary. She originally read for Elizabeth Warren and ended up making her Darth Hillary. Mm-hmm.
You had Jimmy Dore making a cameo in the last episode.
Yes.
How'd you sort that out?
So I watch the Young Turks, or I don't watch them as much anymore, but during the primary I watched them a lot. And Jimmy Dore was always my favorite, because he's, you know, he was unapologetically for, like, Bernie no matter what, mm-hmm. and progressives no matter what, whereas the other guys on the show are kind of like, yeah, Hillary over Donald or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I started getting involved with the Bernie campaign out here in LA, just doing some volunteering and stuff. And I met some people, TYT, they film out here in LA too. So I met some people that worked at TYT, and some of them were fans of my show, and they hooked me up with Jimmy Dore.
Cool. Nice. You said there that you were involved in the Bernie campaign. Are you involved in the sort of Our Revolution Legacy project at all? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh no. So like I was involved like volunteering like unofficially for the campaign. Like we had like an organization called Team Bernie LA out here.
Yeah.
And they weren't actually paid by the campaign or anything. Mm-hmm. So I worked with them a lot. But yeah, so what I know about the Our Revolution is that like when Jeff Weaver came in, mm-hmm. like 8 out of the 13 staffers quit because they all had a problem with Jeff Weaver. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Weaver wanted to take money from super PACs and stuff to be able to run ads. So that's my understanding of the organization. Let me know if there's anything I'm missing.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, cool. Because I'm working on episode 6 right now.
Okay. And, oh, wow.
Oh,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Jeff Weepio comes back.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and he's on the dark side, and he's Darth Weepio.
Are there any new characters you can give us a sneak peek of?
Yeah, for sure. Jill Stein's going to be a prominent character. She's going to be Jill Steinwalker.
Oh. I like that.
Yeah. And on her team is Treebaka, and he's a Chewbacca, but he's a tree.
Okay.
Because I've got 3 more episodes of the show coming.
Oh, brilliant.
Originally, I was going to end it with episode 5, mm-hmm. and yeah. I don't know. I felt inclined to keep it going.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I've been unemployed working on the show through the second half of working on it, because it just takes so much effort to animate and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason why I wanted to stop the show, but I'm just gonna put this little plug in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got a GoFundMe page funding the next 3 episodes of the show. It's GoFundMe.com/BernieSandWars. If you want to contribute and help the show to keep going.
Great.
Nice. Yeah.
But let me get back to episode 6. Yeah. So Treebaka, climate change is going to play a big role in the remainder of the show.
As it should.
Yeah. So Treebaka is like this renegade tree who's with Jill Stein, whereas the rest of the tree people hate humanity in general and are working with Mother Nature to obliterate us from the planet so that we stop destroying the Earth.
Great. You going to find any room for Gary Johnson in there?
Yes, he is going to
brilliant.
Come in, not in episode 6,
okay.
But he will make a cameo in episode 7.
Great. So are you planning to vote for Jill Stein? Do you mind saying?
Yeah, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein, and I hope a lot of people do.
Do you have any concerns about sort of splitting the slightly progressive vote and kind of just handing it to Trump at all? I don't know.
I mean, I don't have concerns about that. I mean, I feel like if everybody came out and just voted for Jill Stein, she could totally win. And I feel like people agree with her policies and stuff, mm-hmm. more people than with Trump and Clinton. Mm-hmm. But for me, and Trump and Clinton are, you know, just they're two monsters, and I don't care which one of them wins. You know, it's the same to me. And I don't know. You know, people will say like Trump's a bigger monster because he uses like bigotry and racism to hate and you know, get like racial warfare going on, and he's also scary because, you know, he says he wants to like kill the families of terrorists, and you know, like, he's always like, why can't we use nukes? And saying a bunch of stupid shit. Yeah. And which is scary, but Clinton is, you know, she keeps like saying all these things about, you know, like, I don't know, these innuendos about how we should like go to war with Russia. And she's no better in the Middle East, you know, like, whereas Trump's wants to like bomb the shit out of people or whatever, Clinton's going to do the same thing with drones. So,
yeah. And I think that what's scary about Hillary Clinton is, she is more kind of,
politically savvy.
Well, she's more politically savvy. Yeah. So she kind of knows how to spin.
She knows how to get stuff done in a way that she'll like get away with it.
Yeah. And you know that she's being insincere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
He's just a buffoon.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, do you want your corruption blatant or like in the shadows?
Sure.
And I feel like it might be better to have it blatant, so the people like in as a whole will come out against it. Whereas Hillary's just going to suppress everything, and nobody's going to challenge her really once she gets into power.
Do you think that Bernie had as big an influence on her platform as they give the impression he did, with the legalization, with the minimum wage?
I mean, I think, yeah, he changed the platform, but I don't know if that means she's going to do any of it when she gets an offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just coming back to Bernie Sandwars again. The music is really well done, I have to say. The music choice is brilliant. Like,
perfect.
What was your thinking behind that? Like, you use Sabotage, you use
Where is my mind
to like just brilliant effect. What was the basis for that, for the music in the series?
I don't know. I just like, so I get the ideas for what score to use. And then I have a friend who I've worked with since like high school on like short films and stuff. His name is Dan Cups, or he goes by Daniel Lewis Cups, and he makes all the scores. So I'll like tell him I need like, Where's My Mind? Here's the lyrics. And then he just goes and makes it. And it's awesome.
Oh, that's really cool.
And he's got like this same kind of like goofy comedic style where like he's like into like weird like Tim and Eric-y type stuff, so it works out really well. Like there's also, we also did like the first one that was like really a parody that we did for the show was the like I Believe in Miracles, like You Sexy Thing, you know. And I just told him to like make like, I wanted like an instrumental of it, and he came back with all these like fucking hilarious lyrics. So I don't know. I think after we did that one, I was like, we got to do more of this. Yeah. And so I had that. I was just, I don't know. I was listening to like Sabotage on the way home from work, and I was like, oh, this would be awesome during the space fight.
Yeah.
And
then
did you feel it? Did you see Star Trek Beyond kind of ripped you off there?
Oh, really?
They use Sabotage in a big space fight.
They do,
scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they actually do.
They
do.
It's quite similar.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be able to find the clip. Like, it's
it's a very impressive scene. But
damn. But I was first, right?
Yeah, I think you were.
You were first. Yeah.
So you've said you're doing 3 more episodes of Bernie Sandwars. Are you working on any other projects? Can we expect more from you in the future?
Yeah, totally. Nothing like is really being worked on much right now. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly focusing on Bernie Sandwars, but I've had this this concept for a show I started writing a couple years ago. I wrote like 2 or 3 episodes of like a long form, like, I don't know, like 22-minute like comedy show. Because that's my ultimate goal, to be a television writer.
So
I have this show I'm working on called The Myth of Grith, and it combines like Greek mythology, with, it's like a college comedy. I don't know if you guys ever seen like Blue Mountain State. You guys ever seen that?
Yeah.
Familiar, so it's like college comedy kind of, but at the same time, it's like smart, like nerdy, kind of like Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So it's about students at Plato's Academy. So there's like Aristotle's one of the students.
Okay.
This know-it-all. And it follows Grith and like his friend Lycos, who's always trying to get fucked up. And these two girls. Anyway, it ties like real Greek mythology into the story.
Mm-hmm.
So like the gods are real characters and stuff. And each episode ties in like a different myth or two, interwoven with like the main plot. So yeah, that's something I'm really passionate about, and hope to get working on after Bernie Sanders.
Cool. So where can people find you online if they want to see more of your work, Shane?
It's youtube.com/ShaneBarbera or just ShaneBarbera.com.
Awesome.
Or on Facebook, it's Shane Barbera Comedy. Before we go, do you guys, I mean, your audience is mostly Irish people?
Largely.
Yeah, mostly Irish, yeah.
Cool. Well, can you explain to me like the 99% in Ireland?
Well, I don't know. Like, I guess we would have taken the name and inspiration for the show mostly from American movement. Certainly in Ireland, there was a branch of the Occupy movement. A lot of the sort of left-wing enthusiasm here was sort of focused on the government bringing in payment for public water a few years ago. And this, like, literally, like, several new political parties were set up just to combat this because they felt it was, a really regressive tax that was going to punish the working classes.
Yeah.
So that was almost the main issue. And now those parties and groups are sort of going to focus on other things, trying to bring in abortion legislation. There was a successful referendum on marriage equality. So, like, there is, I guess, a movement on the left here. But the 99%, I'd say we took from the U.S.
It's mostly, American inspiration.
But you guys have the same problems with money and politics and stuff?
They're not as publicly discussed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're definitely there, I would say.
but we don't, I don't think we really have, like, we don't have a lot of the issues.
We have a parliamentary system here.
Yes.
It's like there's a good few political parties who all kind of can take different positions in the government.
It's not a two-party system. Yeah. Like, currently we have a minority government, so
there's like a few different parties involved. So
yeah.
So there's a lot more people involved in making the decisions. So corruption never really reaches the top.
Yes.
visibly, at least. We don't think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's why I was really hoping Bernie would run, like, on the green ticket after he lost.
Yeah, actually.
I think he really could have, broken up the two-party system.
Definitely, yeah.
But, so, can you tell me, like, how influential American politics are on Irish politics, or what happens here? Does that influence your economy much?
The economy? I don't know. It definitely influences the attitudes. And I know that there's a lot of enthusiasm among young people here for Bernie. Like, a lot of our friends and acquaintances were really getting into the campaign and getting behind him online.
Yeah.
And against Trump now, I suppose. But, like, I don't know. In terms of the economy, I don't know how much it'll be. I mean, the Brexit decision in Britain was more so in terms of international influence. I don't know how much the outcome of your election will impact us. I don't think it will that much. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I guess it depends if we start a war or not.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends on the outcome.
Yeah, it depends how Russia and North Korea respond to the election of President Donald J. Trump, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah. Or Hillary Clinton.
Or Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you guys have a preference who we elect here?
Between
Trump and Clinton?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I'd like to see Stein and or Johnson do well, her particularly. But
yeah,
like being a sort of pessimistic realist, I'm ultimately going on the, I'm kind of just going to support Hillary on the last day, just out of terror of the unknown of an unqualified non-politician becoming president. Like, but that's based largely on cowardice, I suppose. that's just me. I don't know.
And what about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm less so inclined to kind of support Hillary than Lucien would. I'm definitely Jill Stein. Yeah.
I'd love to see Jill Stein succeed, but like, I don't know.
I know.
I'm waiting for those poll numbers to go off. It's frustrating.
Right. Although I think it would be exciting from our point of view to see what Donald Trump would be like.
It would be entertaining. But
it would be very entertaining.
Yeah.
I know. But like, I mean, even if he doesn't win, we're definitely going to, he's not going away after the election.
Yeah,
you know?
No. I mean, so, there'll be all sorts of nonsense being brought up.
There will be.
Like,
yeah. I mean, here's what I feel like. I mean, like Jimmy Dore talks about this a lot too, and it's like, If you elect Hillary, she's probably in there for like 8 years, and then she probably does a bad job, and then we get a Republican after that.
Yeah,
and then we've gone at that point 12 or 16 years without getting what we wanted with Bernie. Mm. You know.
Yeah.
And then
whereas if Trump goes in, we'll see the downfall of the party of the Republicans. Like.
Yeah, or if Trump goes in, there's so much opposition to him that, you know, like, all of those Democrats band together and like they finally start listening to progressives.
Yeah.
And then in like 4 years, you know, we get a real progressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the, you know, as president.
Do you think Bernie could run again?
I don't know. I hope so, but I think he's going to be kind of old.
Yeah. What about Warren or one of those?
I mean, Warren kind of like lost a lot of respect in the progressive movement when she didn't endorse Bernie, and then she came out so wholeheartedly and so quickly for Hillary after it was so apparent that they rigged the California election here.
Yeah.
It was really frustrating. So yeah, I don't know. I really like Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, I put her in the show. I thought she would have been really good to balance out Bernie, cause she was, you know, everybody said Bernie doesn't have foreign policy experience or whatever. And, he was a veteran, but I mean, I don't know. I think Bernie's track record on foreign policy is way better than Hillary's.
Yeah,
he's made all the right calls throughout history. So, and then Jill Stein's even better. She wants she wants to close down all these U.S. military bases all over the world.
Mm.
And she wants to, you know, have a weapons embargo in the Middle East and stuff.
Yeah, It's like if the media groups would allow Johnson and Stein into the debates, it would really help them out, I think.
Yeah, I know. And it's like made, there's the systems in place to keep like the two parties in power.
Yeah, for sure.
And also having a sort of a big dramatic Hillary Trump two-way debate is kind of easier to promote and to make money off of from NBC or CNN's perspective, I guess.
It's
more of a shit show, like, I don't know.
Well, I just want to get your guys' opinion to what I was saying earlier about like the 12 years with Clinton versus like the 4 years with Trump. Like the counter argument to that a lot of times is that, like, you know, people thought Hitler was just gonna, you know, get thrown out right away, but then he took over all the branches of government and then, you know, made it a total
You know, that is a risk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, do you guys think that's a legitimate concern, or is that?
I think anything is a legitimate concern because you have someone who's completely unpredictable. He has people from Breitbart running aspects of his campaign, people who have such just, you know, far out there attitudes to aspects of social policy that it's like, I don't know, it's really hard to figure out what they're actually planning and what new ideas they could get.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a man I thought his campaign wouldn't last a month.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean,
but it keeps evolving into new things.
So like anything could happen.
Yeah,
and that's what's so exciting about the election.
And sure, you're going to be affected by the result more than we are. So
yeah.
It's really embarrassing as an American having so many people, you know, supporting an idiot.
He's really kind of brought out
the worst in certain aspects of the society, I guess.
And a lot of people who wouldn't have voted before.
Yeah. But for good reason.
He's coming back in Bernie Sanders, whereas the next episode's called Dawn of the Donald.
And it's a
zombie parody.
Brilliant. Well, we can't wait to see it.
For sure.
Thank you very much, Shane, for speaking to us.
Yeah.
And everybody listening, better go check out Bernie Sanders, because it's really, really great.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you, Shane.
Yeah, you too, guys.
All right, good luck. So thanks again to Shane for joining us, and make sure to check out Bernie Sanders on YouTube and the rest of Shane's work. Moving on now, it is time for the final time. Maybe not the final time. It's time now for... Kevin's Busy Film of the Week. Michael, what is this week's Kevin Spacey Film of the Week?
This week's Kevin Spacey Film of the Week is the one, the only, Inseparable. This is a film that we have on DVD right in front of us right now, featuring Daniel Wu and Baby Gong.
Okay, I had not heard of this film until I found it for 25 cents in a DVD bargain bin a few weeks ago, and I bought it for Michael as a gift. The tagline is part-time... We have not watched it yet, by the way. The tagline on the DVD is part-time superhero, full-time therapist. According to Starburst, it is entertaining, bizarre, and worth watching. And... Michael, you want to have a read of that synopsis for us?
Yeah, sure.
What the hell is this movie about?
It takes place in a southern megacity in China.
Mm-hmm.
Just generic megacity in China.
Mm-hmm.
It tells the plot-twisting story of a 30-year-old Li, a burnt-out engineer at a high-tech prosthetic company,
mm-hmm.
who has recently and suddenly endured several tragic events in his life. The movie begins as we see Li is a man, by the way, trying to commit suicide. Fortunately, this is interrupted by an American expat claiming to be his neighbor, Chuck, played by Kevin Spacey. The two become friends, and Chuck takes Li under his wings and gradually helps Li with his troubles at work, with life in general, and his relationship woes with his wife, Pang. An investigative reporter with extreme mood swings.
This is all written on the back of the DVD, by the way.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But is Chuck really who he says he is? And why do Li and Chuck patrol the streets like superheroes late into the night? Inseparable opens doors into the mind of a new generation of Chinese in a humorous and touching way. Audiences are invited to go along for the adventurous and sometimes dangerous ride.
I actually can't wait to see this film.
I love their use of dashes as well.
Yeah.
Throughout. It's so weird. They've got like two dashes there.
I cannot imagine what this film is like. I mean, it looks like a comedy. It's kind of obvious. It obviously is a comedy, but I don't know. It's
not worded like a comedy.
I mean, this is a Chinese film.
Oh, it looks great.
With Kevin Spacey in it. He also produced it.
We haven't watched this.
We need to watch it
soon.
It looks really good.
Oh, dude.
So anyway.
Oh, Kevin Spacey.
So this week's... Yeah, okay. So I would like to point out I am wearing
this is kind of like... This is kind of like Bangkok
Dangerous. It's like... It's basically Kevin Spacey version of Bangkok Dangerous. Which is, you know, to say an American actor goes to the Orient, makes a cheap thriller, goes straight to DVD. No one knows why it exists or what it's about. I will point out I'm wearing my Kevin Spacey t-shirt today.
Yes.
It says...
That's great. Bad for a greater good.
And it has a picture of Kevin Spacey as Frank Underwood in House of Cards fixing his tie. Mm.
Very, very nice.
Fixing his tie.
This t-shirt cost even more than that DVD.
You're really gone full-on Kevin Spacey fan today.
Oh, I know. Oh, come on, we're doing Kevin Spacey film of the week. He's so great.
He is.
Yeah, are there any other Kevin Spacey films coming out before... in the next few months, I'm trying to think. Not really. House of Cards.
After that huge release he had with
Nine Lives. Yeah.
House of Cards is February.
House of Cards season 5, February or March. So you can look forward to that. I'm sure he'll show up in something. We love Kevin Spacey. He's great.
Kev's the man. All right.
He's the man. Moving on now to low stakes cereal.
Let's do it.
Actually, I wouldn't say it's low stakes. I'd say this is pretty high stakes.
For you.
I want to bring this up. This is something that matters to me. I was going to talk about it a few episodes ago. We were going to get an interview on it, but we never got around to it. So I'm going to just address it now. There was a vote in the Dáil back in, I don't know, June maybe, May or June, about basically Maureen O'Sullivan, independent TD, proposed a ban on hair coursing, which is a cruel, pointless, and extremely dated practice of killing hares for no real reason. Hares are beautiful creatures. I love them. And I think killing hares is horrible. So they had a vote in the Dáil on this ban. And I am now going to read out to you the names of the TDs who voted for the ban. So these are the TDs who voted, in my opinion, the right way. So if your local TD isn't on this list, they're a scumbag. Okay.
Whoa.
So we've got Mick Barry, TD.
Whoa.
Richard Boyd Barrett. These are the good people.
Okay.
Richard Boyd Barrett, TD. Thomas P. Broen, Joan Collins, Catherine Connolly, Ruth Coppinger, Claire Daly, Stephen Donnelly, John Halligan, two of our guys right there, Gino Kenny, Finian McGrath, Catherine Martin, Catherine Murphy, Paul Murphy, Maureen O'Sullivan, Shane Ross, Eamon Ryan, Roisin Shorthall, Breege Smith, and Mick Wallace. That's it. So if your TD wasn't on that list, they want hares to die. They want to kill cute little hares.
So in our constituency,
one of five, Catherine Connolly voted the right way.
So the
so we're calling so you out, TD, Sean Kine,
Hildegard
Knockton,
Noel Grealish,
Eamon O'Queeve. What's your beef with hares?
Okay,
they are adorable.
I mean, I can...
This is like a... it's a tradition. The argument would be, it's a rural tradition.
I don't...
But there's no practical angle to it. They're hares. They're not...
You know. I mean, they can be disruptive to farms and stuff.
But like, I don't buy that.
They are pretty... They would be endangered, right? They're kind of rare.
They're definitely on the way, yeah. Like, they're not that abundant in Ireland. So shame on you, 114 TDs who voted against this bill.
Okay.
I've wanted to talk about this for a while. Just wanted to name and shame. So if your TD wasn't on that
poor
list,
little hairs.
Poor
okay.
Hairs. So thank you to those TDs who voted for it. Thank you, Social Democrats. Thank you, Green, Anti-Austerity, People Before Profit, and a bunch of independents. Thank you. Okay. So, Mike, that's pretty much it for today's show.
Pretty much wraps it up for this week.
And that's pretty much it for our kind of run of episodes over the summer.
Yeah, we're going to do a few more, obviously, running up to the election.
Our next few episodes are going to be kind of
spaced out a bit more.
Spaced out a bit more, and they're going to be very much focused on Hillary and Trump. And that election is very exciting, of course. The election is coming up.
We've got first week of November coming up.
There's going to be two debates, at least. Yes. First will be on NBC, moderated by Lester Holt. The second will be on CNN, moderated by Anderson Cooper. And then we're going to have the election itself in November.
Matt Banter.
Anything could happen. There could be an assassination. There could be, I mean, genuinely, there's literally no way of knowing what could happen between then and now. Trump's tax returns could come out. What'll be in his tax returns?
Ooh.
We could have a huge WikiLeaks dump of data of either his information or hers.
Probably not, but
we could have both candidates get into such a terrible spot that Gary Johnson or Jill Stein actually becomes a viable possible president.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Trump is forced to pull out and Paul Ryan takes his place as the Republican candidate.
Oh, Lou.
Hillary's forced to pull out and Bernie Sanders takes his place. Riots on the streets when the Trump supporters refuse to accept the Democratic result. Genuinely,
it is going to be one of the most exciting month and a half periods in the history of American politics.
You and your speculation, dude.
I just want good TV, Michael. I just want some excitement in my life.
Fiction ain't good enough for you.
I mean, it's just so exciting.
It is, though. And we're going to have all that coming up.
We're going to have, it's going to be so exciting.
It will be.
I had to find this to play it. All right, so everybody, thanks for tuning in to the 99% episode 16. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks to everyone who has joined us during this 8-episode run, including our guests and our in-studio guests, Killian Byrne and Shane Kelly.
It was a good run.
We'll be back very soon with more 99%. Keep an eye on our website, 99pshow.com, facebook.com/99pshow, twitter.com/99pshow, instagram.com/99pshow. You can email 99pshow@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I am Revolutionary. He is MacAndrew Tweets. Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.